Each of us on a faith journey has our own story, and each of those stories are unique, different, and relatable. And every one of them matters, even a student story. Like many of you, Olivia Bacon encountered doubt while on the faith journey, but she walked away from the faith and became an atheist, only to find her way back to the Christian faith. Join us in this exciting episode and hear why Olivia walked away and what was it that made her come back. Don't go anywhere. This episode starts in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Be the 25 Podcast, the place where teens and young adults come to explore how to live the Christian life in a non-Christian world. I'm your host, Dr. Sharon O'Hara. Come join us and get your faith ready for the journey ahead. Well, welcome to another episode of Be the 25, the podcast that empowers Christian teens and young adults to stay strong in their Christian faith journey. Today, we have a very special guest, Miss Olivia Bacon, joining us all the way from the University of Mississippi. Olivia is a sophomore there, majoring in creative writing and modern languages. Beyond her academic pursuits, she dreams of publishing her in-progress fantasy series. Yes, Olivia is a writer. But when she's not immersed in the world of words, she dedicates her time to kids and enjoys a spirited game of flag football. Who knows? Perhaps we'll see Olivia in the 2028 Olympics, since flag football is now part of the games. You know, I met Olivia last summer at a Christian writers conference, and let me tell you, I'm really impressed with this young lady. I heard her story, and it's impactful. And now you get to hear her story too. Welcome, Olivia, and thank you for being here and sharing your story with the Be the 25 community.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor to be here, so I'm very excited.
Well, let's start with a little background information for our listeners. You know, you grew up in a Christian household with a parent involved in ministry, and that likely had a profound effect on your faith journey. Tell the listeners how your family background shaped your initial beliefs in Christianity and how it led you to the faith.
Yeah, so my dad works for a company called BTCP, which stands for Bible Training Center for Pastors. So his entire job is to get seminary training to people in countries where there isn't really any available. And then my mom also has a biblically centered job. She teaches at a hybrid homeschool in Atlanta, where she teaches biology from a biblical perspective and also sometimes teaches Bible classes as well. So I definitely grew up with a very strong foundation in the faith. My parents made a point of making Christianity like the foundation of our lives and of our family. So when I was little, I went to Awana, which is, if you haven't heard of that, it's where you learn Bible verses as a kid, and
yes,
and just making sure we were reading our Bibles in the morning, going to church every single Sunday. And so that definitely had a really profound effect on my faith journey, because especially for the first 10 or so years of my life, that was all I knew. Christianity was real. Jesus died for me. And that was really the story that got cemented in my head from the very beginning.
Wow. Now, what prompted you to reconsider your Christian beliefs? I mean, you were going through Awana, I'm sure, going to youth group, going to Sunday school, going to church, probably more than once a week. Was there a specific experience or a moment that led you to re-examine your Christian beliefs?
I wouldn't say that there was a specific moment, but it was definitely a journey that got me to that place. Because at the same time that I was growing up in the church, I was also growing up in public school. And in elementary school, that didn't really make much of a difference. But in middle school, I began to learn about things like atheism, about other religions like Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. I began to learn about people who didn't think there was a God. And I began to learn about things like the Big Bang and science. And just, I began to get too polar opposite views of the world. And one of them was the one I had grown up with, which talked about miracles and this man named Jesus and this story that I'd heard 1,000 times about a man dying on the cross and coming back to life. And on the other end, I'm getting this perspective that says, oh, all religions are just part of people's culture and they're all pretty much the same. And this is how the world actually started. And the Bible is outdated and wrong. So it wasn't really a specific moment. It was really just me having to come to terms with the fact that I was looking at two different worldviews and I had to choose one.
Right. So how did you walk away?
So when I walked away, it was about when I entered middle school. I can't give you a specific date, but right, probably late in sixth grade.
Gotcha.
I made the decision to, and I don't even want to call it a decision because it was more, I was looking at these two worldviews and I realized that I didn't have enough evidence to choose either way. Everyone was telling me, Jesus is real. He died for your sins. This really happened. God is real. But then I would look at the world and I would look at all this scientific stuff on the other end. And it seemed like Christianity didn't fit in the world that I was growing up with. So instead of like a, I choose not to believe moment, it was a, oh no, I can't make myself believe. So that was really the more turn that happened for me. And that was when I began reluctantly classifying myself as an atheist. And then once I started getting more proof back for there being a God, an agnostic. And that was really the process that I went through. An atheist is someone who doesn't believe that there is a God.
So really you went from atheism and then you went to agnosticism, which means, well, we don't know if there is a God. We're just not sure. Does that sound about right?
Yes, actually.
How did your family react to your decision? And what happened at home? I mean, did you just come home and say, you know, I'm done or I'm questioning? Tell us how it unfolded.
So there was definitely a big buildup to me telling my parents because, you know, I'd hear them talk about people who weren't believers or even people we knew that like maybe went to a different kind of church than us. And just hearing them, you know, in the privacy of their own home, discuss differences that they had. I mean, it was never anything disrespectful. I did get the impression that to be part of the family was to be a Christian and to be united on these fronts. So I was terrified of telling my parents. It took a lot of nights of just wrestling with these doubts in bed and being like, I don't know whether I'm going to heaven or to hell, and all these crushing anxieties. And one night, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I thought, even if my mom hates me forever, it's better than what I'm going through right now. So I went to my mom, and that is when things started to get better. I would definitely recommend going to your parents. Now, I was lucky that my parents were very supportive. They also had doubts at some point in their life, something that I had no clue of before that point. Not as severe as the ones that I had, but still doubts of a similar sort. My parents prayed for me. And then as time went on, they made a point of always checking up on me, always showing me a new YouTube video about why Christianity made more sense than other religions, giving me books to read because my dad also went to seminary. And so he would name drop a couple like Mere Christianity, The Case for Christ. Obviously, I'm studying creative writing. I've been reading since I was a child. By the time I got to that point where I was doubting my faith, I think I'd read the Bible like 6 times. So I had no problem with the books. So that was a very helpful and also an asset to me as well in that time.
Were your Christian friends aware of you were going through this, or did you kind of make this a private part of your life and not tell them about it? If you did tell them, what was their reaction and any things that they did that helped you?
So I would have liked to have kept it private. My Christian friends didn't go to my school. I did have Christian friends who went to my church, and there was no way to get around them knowing because in my church, we take communion about once a month or maybe a little less. When my parents figured out that I was doubting my faith, they said, if you really aren't sure about God, really think about not taking communion because you really can't give the sacrament the holiness it deserves if you aren't in that right headspace. You really want to be sure of this and like committed to God before you take communion. And so my church was really small. It was like 60 people max, and there was only 10 kids. And so it was me and the kindergartner sitting down. That was not a pleasant experience. People knew in my church, and a lot of old people would come up and pray with me, which I was totally embarrassed by. I had my Sunday school teacher bring it up once in Sunday school, and I was just flame red. And so my friends knew at church, but we were so young, they weren't really going to say anything. Neither did my siblings. It was mostly older people and my parent and my grandmother who would really be intentional about praying with me and asking how I was doing and if I'd made any progress and telling me that they were praying for me. And their examples were really important because there were doctors at my church. There were lawyers. Our preacher was a lawyer. Seeing how unshakable their faith was and how firm they were in their faith and being jealous of that. I want that assurance so badly. These are such logical, smart people. How can they have this faith when this faith seems so illogical to me right now?
You know, when people walk away, you have a choice, and that is to do something or do nothing. What steps did you take after you took a step back, or did you just stop there?
I did not stop there.
Were there specific individuals, books, or other resources that, that played a role in you trying to figure all this out?
Yes, definitely had a lot of theological discussions with my dad, which was partly based off the books, but definitely reading those books that I already mentioned, especially I would say Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. He definitely walks from, does God exist, to then what do we do about it? And why does the Christian God exist? In The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, he was a journalist. Definitely a lot of historical fact, a lot of good archaeological facts in that one. And also Cold Case Christianity was really good in a similar way. It gave me permission to look at the Christian faith, not just as these stories that I had to believe, but to really look at it in like a logical light and be like, okay, let's examine this logically and see what the evidence actually is out there.
So instead of using your heart, you started using your head.
Yes, but I had to finish with my heart. I had to get my head into a place where I was like, okay, there's enough evidence that it could be true. Once I gathered all this evidence and I went from being an atheist to being an agnostic. Okay, I know there's a God because this universe didn't come out of nowhere. So something had to have created it. But how do I know it's the Christian God? And working through books like that and being like, okay, there's a lot of evidence for Christianity. But there was definitely still a leap of faith that I wasn't willing to take for a long time. And I just kept gathering more evidence and more evidence. But at the end, I had to accept that as a human, as someone who has not experienced death and will not know until I die, like for sure, I had to make a decision without final evidence in the end.
Was it more of a case, Olivia, of Christianity is more probable than any of the other world religions? And that's what happened to me. That's kind of what it sounds like happened to you.
Yes, I would say that's a really great way of describing it.
Now, looking back, what was the most important lesson you learned or insight you gained going through this experience?
Wow, so many insights. Primarily that faith has to be based on knowledge. Like you can't just believe something, someone just tells you it's true and you believe it. You've got to have like a good basis for what you believe in. That's really important. Also, going to your parents is really important, or if you don't want to go to your parents with it, going to an adult that you trust, continuously seeking truth is really important. Like the worst thing that you could possibly do is just give up and stop looking.
You probably are continuing to search. You know, the search never stops. You're always finding more things that confirm the Christian belief.
Yes. Even this semester, I've been in a self-reflection, creative nonfiction class. And so I've been writing a lot about these things that I went through in middle school and high school as well. As I was writing those things, it really stirred up a lot of those old thoughts, all those negative thought patterns that had me so afraid when I was in middle school. And I really had to grapple with, does God exist, for a second time? But this time I knew those thoughts couldn't hurt me, that those thoughts were lies. And so if you doubt, it's a high probability that you always need to be looking for new evidence, rereading those books. And something that I think really helps me is being really grounded in the Bible. Because when I was discovering my faith for the second time, it was really those books, Mere Christianity, Cold Case Christianity, that helped me, those sources that were outside of the Bible, because I didn't really trust the Bible. But when those doubts started popping up again, it was really the Bible and seeing it as its cohesive whole and seeing how it really clearly and well explains the entirety of human existence like no other source can. I think that's really important. So staying in the Word, I definitely recommend. Even if you're doubting, don't stop reading the Bible, going to church.
And in Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I'm a former cop, so I'm always looking at evidence. And it says here that faith is the substance. I mean, there's substance to it, of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So there is substance to the Christian belief and there is evidence for it. Matter of fact, Christianity is an evidence-based faith. Archaeology, astronomy, textual criticism, personal testimony, personal experience, geography, history. I mean, it is filled with evidence. I think what happens is we grow up in the church and then we go into these different environments and we kind of like, well, wait a minute, you know, here we have all these other different beliefs and, you know, which one's right, which one's true. And I think that's exactly what happened to you. But, you know, there is evidence, but the thing is, you have to go out and look for it. When you compare your faith before you walked away with your faith after you returned or right now, do you think your doubts and questions led you to a stronger faith? And if so, how?
Oh, of course. Before it was, I would say it was mostly my parents' faith. It was just, I went to church and it was what I'd heard all my life. But now after searching through these doubts, I feel like I've really made this faith my own. And it's not based on anything my parents say or just my worldview, but it's based on truth and what I know to be true.
You know, I commonly tell people doubts lead to questions. Questions lead to answers. Answers lead to truth. And the truth sets you free. This is what happened to you.
Absolutely. That's not to say that my faith now is doubt-free. And I wanted to circle back to Hebrews 11 because I was recently studying Hebrews 11. And when you quoted Hebrews 11:1, it reminded me of a passage later down in Hebrews 11. It's called the Hall of Faith. It's the different experiences of people who have had really strong faith. And there's a portion in this passage that says, there are some people who, with the power of faith, they win battles, they do all these great things, God blesses them. But then it goes on to say, there are some people who have faith and they get tortured for their faith and they live their whole lives and they don't receive the promises that God has promised for their people. And they spend their whole lives waiting and they spend their whole life struggling, but they still have faith and they still will receive the same reward. So just realizing that faith does not guarantee an easy life or an easy journey to maintain that faith, but it does ensure eternity.
You made the choice to do something about your doubts rather than nothing. A lot of people have doubts, but you did something about it. And I'm sure some of that anxiety cleared.
Yeah. And I would say it would have been, on one hand, I couldn't not investigate because my anxiety and my doubts were so bad. And I was really in a very depressed state. But also, I would go to school and it was so easy to be like, I want to forget that I'm having these thoughts. I want to be a normal teenager. I want to live my life. But if I had done that, if I just kept pushing it down and pushing it down, I would have had all those unprocessed ideas, which is why my doubt got so bad in the first place, because I had one question and I didn't address it and they just kept building and kept building. And that's how the problem got so bad, is because I didn't catch it in the first place. So
they never go away. They never go away until you deal with them.
Yes, you just forget about them and then they come on back. You have to be continuously seeking truth. And even when you think you're in a good place, you can't relax. Even after I became a Christian and chose to make that leap, even after that, I couldn't just be like, oh, I'm good now. I had to be in the Bible and be continuously strengthening my faith, fortifying this small sliver that I had where I'd made this decision, but I had to stick with it.
When I started having doubts, I started ignoring them and they didn't go away. And I kept trying to, and you use the right word, I tried to suppress them, put them down and just kind of getting my mind off of it and doing something else. But they always, always surfaced. So I bet you anything, there's listeners listening to this who are thinking, yeah, that's what I've been doing. And really what they need to do is start addressing them. So what advice or guidance can you offer someone who's experiencing doubts, who's maybe questioning their faith, or perhaps have already walked away from the Christian faith? Having been there, what advice and guidance could you give them?
Yeah, a couple verses in Matthew. Matthew 28:17 says, "When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." And this is occurring after Jesus' resurrection around the time of his ascension. And they said, when they saw Jesus return, some people believed, but some doubted. But then right after that verse, it goes on to say that Jesus said to all of them, to all the people that were there, the ones who doubted and the ones who worshiped, "Go and make disciples of all nations." So just because you have doubts does not in any way disqualify you from being a Christian or disqualify you from having faith. And just because you have doubts doesn't mean that you can't still hold on to your faith. The worst thing that you could possibly do is stop seeking that truth and letting it go. So the important thing is to just keep questioning, actually. Keep questioning and keep trying to find those answers.
You know, I confided in some people. One was a teacher that actually wrote apologetics books. So I was doing the same thing like you were. I was researching. And mind you, this is after I already had all my degrees, been to seminary, and I just started, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm starting to question things. And I'm grateful for those people. I'm grateful for the resources that are out there. You know, there's way more resources out there now than there were even a year ago. Let me ask you as we wrap this up, is there anything else that you would like to tell our listeners or share with them?
Really like to address the parents who may be listening. I know this is a podcast for young people, but also I know that this is a topic that is really important for parents of young people as well.
Yes.
And I just wanted to give them some advice from someone who had parents who were probably very lost on what to do. Like, they did great, but what do you do when like your kid comes to you and it's like, "I don't believe in Christianity anymore," or "I'm doubting"? How do you respond to that? So I would just encourage them to be careful about how they talk about non-believers. So like, be intentional with your words, and help your kid realize that it's okay to have doubts. Like, when you have doubts, maybe talk about them with your kid and how God helped you circle through those doubts and gave you answers, and give them apologetics and logic that helps prove God, but also give them compassion for those people who are doubting. Help them realize that it's like okay if they have questions and that everyone has questions. And encourage them to use their doubts to investigate their faith. People don't have to end up how I ended up. I really wish that I had addressed my doubt right off. God had a purpose in it. I mean, it made my faith stronger. But this journey does not have to come with all that doubt and anxiety if you catch it right off.
Right. When you start seeing it, you know, perk up, that's when you really need to deal with it now, because it can compound and make the situation worse. I want to give this scripture for our listeners, and it's Jude 22, and it says, "And have mercy on some who are doubting." Mm-hmm. Have mercy on some who are doubting. A lot of times parents could brush kids off, or people will say, "Oh, you just got to believe." No, no, no. And we have to show mercy to people who are doubting. Olivia, I want to thank you so much for being here and sharing your story with us. And I have a scripture for you. And it's 2 Timothy 3:14-15. And it says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Thank you so much, Olivia.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed being on this podcast.
Yeah, hey, keep growing and keep going.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, Olivia's story reminds us of the twists and turns our faith journey can take. And her story isn't just about walking off the path and returning. It's also about the ongoing choices she made. Yes, she chose to step away from the faith, but she chose to be open-minded. She chose to keep seeking answers. She chose to reconsider her decision to leave, and she chose to come back. She chose to be the 25. You know, your faith journey story is filled with choices too. Whether you're questioning your path, exploring new ideas, or standing at a crossroads, each choice you make from there becomes part of your faith story. And your story matters. And so do your questions. In our next episode, we'll explore the power of questions and how your questions can propel your faith forward. So I'll see you next time, right here on Be the 25.